Okay, welcome to the Shia Ramban Parshas Bo. It happens to be there are a lot of very fundamental Rambans in Parshas Bo. I'm not going to be able to get through all of them, but I do want to share at least some of the insights the Ramban has into Parshas Bo, which, as we'll see, pertain not only to the Psukim in Parshas Bo, but to really some very fundamental things that touch upon our lives on a regular basis. So as we know, Parshas Bo is the first systematic halachic presentation that we have in Chumash, beginning with Perek Yud-Beis. Kodesh Baruch Hu appears to Moshe and Aaron in Mitzrayim. He tells them, "Achodesh hazeh lochem rosh chadoshim." This month of Nisan, is going to be the first of the months for you, for the Jewish people. So commenting on that pasuk, Perek Yud-Beis, pasuk Beis, the Ramban writes, "Zo mitzvah rishona shesiva Kodesh Baruch Hu es Yisrael yidei Moshe." This is the very first mitzvah, as we said, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the Jewish people through the agency of Moshe. V'lochein omar be'eretz Mitzrayim. And that's even implicit in the very beginning of the pasuk. That is to say, if you look at the beginning of Perek Yud-Beis, it says, "V'yomer Hashem Moshe v'yal Aaron be'eretz Mitzrayim leimor." Hashem spoke to Moshe and Aaron in the land of Egypt. And of course, you know, the question is, yeah, where else did he speak to them? I mean, we've been following the storyline over here, right? They are in Egypt. This is pre the Exodus, pre Yitzias Mitzrayim. So why add the words to Eretz Mitzrayim? So the Ramban writes, "Ki sh'or mitzvos shebatorah hayu b'har Sinai." This is in contradistinction to the other mitzvos in the Torah. The other mitzvos in the Torah were given at Har Sinai. So the point is, yes, of course, every communication that has been done from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe and Aaron up until this point has been in Egypt. However, this is a mitzvah being revealed in Egypt, as opposed to the other mitzvahs that are going to be revealed at Har Sinai. So that's the emphasis of the Eretz Mitzrayim. Or alternatively, Shebal Omar be'Eretz Mitzrayim, lo be'ir Mitzrayim, k'mo she'omer Avoseinu chutz l'krach. Or, says the Ramban, a second explanation, the emphasis is not on the word Mitzrayim, in the land of Egypt, the way that we would normally understand it, but rather on the word Eretz, in the land of Egypt, meaning, as opposed to the city, whereas we've seen already, Rashi brings in last week's parasha, that when Moshe Rabbeinu went to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he deliberately went outside of the city, because the city itself was filled up with all kinds of idols and the like. So, you know, it was the city got in the way in a spiritual sense of Moshe Rabbeinu's ability to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's not only truth, says the Ramban, for tefillah, for davening to Hashem, but for the revelation of Torah as well. Torah can't be revealed in a city that's filled with idols. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicates to Moshe and Aaron this mitzvah, the Eretz Mitzrayim. You know, as to use a word, in a way which we still use it today, he communicated to him in the country. He went into the country, in the Eretz Mitzrayim. He went, you know, whatever the Catskills are in Mitzrayim, that's where he went. He went outside of the city in order to be able to receive this communication. So that's two different explanations as to why the phrase the Eretz Mitzrayim is here. V'hayaroi, continues the Ramban, V'hayaroi sh'yom ha'tchila Dabru el kol adas Yisrael leimar hachodesh hazel lochem v'gomer haparsha avu Moshe v'aron hem b'makom Yisrael v'omar lochem keneged Yisrael l'dorosom v'chazar v'omar dabru el kol adas Yisrael sh'yitzavim b'mitzvah shah l'kachas pesach Mitzrayim b'osor. The Ramban now turns his attention to also a little bit of a strange and oddity with the Psukim. The Psukim start off in the beginning of Perek Yud-Beis with HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicating to Moshe and Aaron, HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem Rosh Chodoshim. Right? You should know that this month, Nisan, is going to be the first of the months. Then, Dabru El Kodas Yisrael Leimor, Pastor Gimel continues, speak to the entire congregation of Israel, saying, go on the 10th of Nisan, go and take the lamb, which is going to ultimately serve as the Korban Pesach. So why not just conflate all of that together? In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe and Aaron, and he said, Dabru el kol adas Yisrael leimor, go speak to the Jewish people, HaKadosh Hazeh lochem rosh chadoshim. Why is it broken up into two parts? He tells Moshe and Aaron that Nisan is going to be the first of the month. And by the way, go tell the Jewish people that they should take a lamb for the Karban Pesach. So says the Ramban, the point that the Chumash is trying to make is as follows. What the Torah is actually trying to say is that Moshe and Aaron are representatives of the Jewish nation, and therefore the Torah is being revealed to them in order to impart this to the Jewish nation. So in other words, the first communication comes to Moshe and Aaron with the idea, of course, they're going to pass this on to the rest of the people. However, the subsequent pasuk, which just reveals what they have to do in the here and now, there they're told, go and speak to the Jewish people. Ironically, by taking the first pasuk and addressing it to Moshe and Aaron alone, at least in the pasuk, it highlights the fact that Moshe and Aaron are representing the Jewish people when they receive this first mitzvah. In many ways, one might argue, again, it's not exactly what the Ramban is saying, but you know, maybe it flows from what the Ramban is saying, that you know the Torah here is setting up the stage for what's going to happen later on at Har Sinai. By Har Sinai as well, it's Moshe Rabbeinu who receives the Torah, and then he shares that Torah, as Chazal say, with this whole chain of command. He teaches it to Aaron, and then Aaron teaches it to Elazar and Isamar, and then Elazar and Isamar teach it to the rest of the Jewish people. There's a chain of transmission which takes place. So already here, right from the very, very get-go, that chain of transmission is set up. HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Moshe and Aaron, I'm giving you this mitzvah, and now you're going to pass it on. You're going to pass it on to the rest of the people. The time, I'm skipping a little bit, but here's the essence of what makes this Ramban famous. The time HaKadosh Hazeh Lachem Osh Chadashim, the meaning of this mitzvah, that this month, Nisan, should be the first of the months. Okay, so what does that mean, that it's the first of the months? Sheyimnu also Yisrael Chodesh Rishon. The mitzvah is that the Jewish people should count the month of Nisan as the first month. In other words, when the calendar committee got together after these sukkim, and said, we're going to be the Jewish people, we need to have a calendar, we need to have it sponsored by a local funeral home, or something like that, like all good calendars are, a bank, something. So when they turned the pages of the calendar, as we know, they didn't have the names of the months the way we have them now at this point, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, etc. At the top of the page, on the Nisan page, there was the heading read, first month, Chodesh HaRishon. You turn the calendar page, this, red second month, but the months, the first month should be Nisan, and all of the subsequent months should be referred to by number coming off of this first month, which is Nisan. Umimenu yimnu kol achadoshim. Starting with Nisan, all of the, that's number one, and all of the months receive numbers which pertain to that month, two, three, etc. Until the end of the year, month number 12, which we call Adar, back in the day, in the time of the Tanakh, they called that month number 12. What is the point of this? So says the Ramban, the whole point of the calendar is to reflect the incredible miracle which was Yetzias Mitzrayim, which was the Exodus, and one of many ways in which we show that that miracle is so central to our existence is that the very calendar itself, the months do not have names, the months only have numbers, and the first number month is Nisan, to show that it all flows from there, it all flows from that great miracle. So every time you mention the name or the number of a month, you're always thinking about the fact that we left Mitzrayim. The Alkein Ein L'Chadashim Shem BaTorah. That's why you find that the months in the Torah do not have names. They're always referred to El Yomar b'Chodesh Hashlishi, v'Omer b'Hi b'Shon Hashenis b'Chodesh Hasheni, Na'aleh Ha'anan b'Chodesh Hashvi b'Echal HaChodesh. Right? You go throughout Chumash, the months are always referred to by numbers alone. It was the second month, it was the third month, it was the seventh month, whatever it was. That's not because there were names that just the Torah is not using. No, the months had no names. It's kind of like parents with a lot of children who don't necessarily have the most creative notion of naming their children. You know, you have kid number one, kid number two, kid number three. I don't necessarily recommend this, but you know, a similar kind of way. The months in the Tanakh have numbers. They don't have names at all. There are no names to the months. So some of the Mefarshim ask on the Ramban, not entirely true. You know, if you do look through the Tanakh, you do find here and there some references to names that are associated with the month, with the various months. The month of Ziv, the Yerach HaEsonim, right? The Pasuk says that the Beis HaMikdash was dedicated in the month of the Mighty Ones, the Yerach HaEsonim and Tishrei. So again, we don't have a complete list of 12 names, but we do find names here and there that are associated with the months, not just numbers. So some of the Mefarshim say that those names are not nouns, they're adjectives. In other words, those are descriptions of the months. You know, the month of the Mighty Ones is, you know, kind of the same, you know, Lahavdil, but, you know, to sort of understand it as a Manhattanite, right? You know, so you have Sixth Avenue, it's the Avenue of the Americas. Sixth Avenue, that's really the number of the avenue, but it also, you know, can be referred to in a descriptive way as the Avenue of the Americas. So too over here, you know, there were certain descriptions, adjectives that were used in describing some of the months, but ultimately the real way of referring to the month, the fundamental way of referring to the month, is by number, you know, as the Ramban is saying. So why is that so important? So says the Ramban, Kmo shetiyeh hazechira biyom haShabbos. In this regard, the months of the calendars are very similar to the way we do the days of the week. Traditionally, the days of the week don't have names either, from a Hebrew perspective, right? I mean, to this day, there isn't a Sunday, a Monday, a Tuesday. There's a Yom Rishon, there's a Yom Sheni, there's a Yom Shlishi. Day number one, day number two, day number three, because all of the days of the week are numbered based on their proximity to Shabbos. This is the first day since Shabbos, the second day since Shabbos, this is the third day as we're counting towards Shabbos, right? V'chein hiskiro b'yitzias Mitzrayim b'manoseinu ha'chodesh harishon v'chodesh ha'sheni v'shlishi l'geulaseinu. So, you know, there's a very strong parallelism between the way we count the days of the week leading up to Shabbos and the way that we count the days of the month as having stemmed from Nisan, from the Geulas Mitzrayim. It's interesting, you know, the Rambam in Hilchos Chametz Umatzah makes a statement which is grist, you know, for all of the Mefarshim, all the commentaries on the Rambam. The Rambam writes that we have an obligation to remember the Exodus from Egypt just the same way that we have an obligation to remember the Shabbos day. You know, he draws that parallelism between, you know, the mitzvah of the Haggadah on the night of the Seder and the mitzvah of mentioning the fact that it's Shabbos, which is manifest through Kiddush. So the Ramban is not saying exactly the same thing, but it's very similar to what the Rambam is saying, that, you know, so the mechanism which is put into place to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim as part of, you know, on a yearly basis, you know, through the months, is a very similar kind of mechanism to that which is put in place to remember Shabbos on a weekly basis. You know, these are the two great observances of Torah life, Shabbos on a weekly basis and Pesach on a yearly basis. And so the same way that the week is constructed, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, so too the numbers, you know, the months of the year are numbered and not named to indicate that dependency on the month in which Pesach comes out. Now, writes the Ramban, She'ena minin hazeh l'shana. Now, the year itself doesn't begin with Nisan. It's only the way in which we mark the months. The year itself begins with Tishrei. Hare t'chilas shnoseinu mitishrei. We consider Tishrei the beginning of the year. So, Rosh Hashanah. And we see that in the Torah itself. The Torah itself never refers to Rosh Hashanah as Rosh Hashanah. Right, it calls it a Yom Teruah, a day of blowing. But we do see that Sukkot is referred to as Tkufas Hashana, which could be understood as, you know, at the time at which the year begins. So, in Kain Kishtanikra L'chodesh Nisan Rishon U'L'Tishrei Shvi, Pisrono Rishon L'Geula V'Shvi Yaleha. So therefore, you know, it's when we call Nisan the first month, it's not the first month of the year. You know, the first month of the year, when they sell that calendar from the funeral home or from the bank or whatever it is, the first page is Tishrei. That's the beginning of the year. However, you know, Nisan is the first month of the Geula. In other words, it's not the first month of the year, but it's the, you know, the counting system for the months begins from the month of Nisan. Ukvar hiskiru Rabbi Sein was deho inyan. Chazal talk about this in the Yerushalmi and the Bereishis Rabba, and they make the following statement: Shmos chadashim alu imam bibavel. The names of the months, the way we have them now, right, Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, etc., they all came up with us from Bavel. As the Ramban is going to say, they are Babylonian names. They are not originally Jewish names. But when the Jews came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, meaning when the Jews, after Koresh, after Cyrus, gave the Jews the right to return and rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash, the Jews came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, and that's when the Jews implemented these non-Jewish names of the months. Shmos Chadashim Alu Imami Bavel. They came from us from Bavel. And of course, the obvious question is, I mean, we do so much to keep ourselves distinct and separate from the non-Jewish culture around us. How is it that the very names of the months that we utilize are non-Jewish names? Why on earth would we do that? The Ramban elaborates. Mitchila lo hayu lohem shemos etzleinu. Originally, the months didn't have names. You know, it's not just that the names are new. The whole notion of names was instituted only after the Jews came back from the Babylonian Gauls. Fasti babazeh. So what's the reason behind that? Ki mitchila hayu min yarem zechel esiyas mitzrayim. Originally, the whole way we counted the months was to connect the months to the esiyas mitzrayim, to the Exodus. But when we came back from Bavel, the following pasuk in Sefer Yirmiyahu was fulfilled in front of our eyes. The pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, Perek Tezayin, Lo ye'omer od chay Hashem, asher helo es b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. There will be another geula, there will be another redemption, says Yirmiyahu. And when that redemption comes, no longer will they say that God took, you know, no longer will we refer to God as the one who took us out of Egypt. But rather we will refer to God as the one who took us out of that northern land, and the Ramban at least understands that northern land as the reference to Bavel. After all, if you go through Sefer Yirmiyahu, Yirmiyahu makes it clear that, you know, the, you know, Bavel is regarded as being in the north, but Bavel is actually northeast of Eretz Yisrael. So I guess you could call it east, you could call it north, but he always talks about, you know, from the very beginning of Sefer Yirmiyahu, Mitzafon, Tipasach, Hara, you know, the evil is going to come from the north down to Eretz Yisrael. You know, for whatever reason, you know, Bavel is viewed as being primarily to the north of Eretz Yisrael. He doesn't really focus on the fact that it's to the east of Eretz Yisrael. So once that pasuk in Yirmiyahu was fulfilled, meaning Pasuk in Yirmiyahu says there's going to come another geula, another redemption, after the Jews were taken out from Egypt, and that redemption is going to be so powerful and meaningful that to some extent that redemption is going to eclipse Yetzias Mitzrayim, the fact that we left Egypt. We're going to refer to God as the one who took us out of Babel. So how are we going to do that on a practical level? So you know what? Since the Ramban, that's when we decided we're going to rename the months of the year with Babylonian names, and this will always remind us that we came out of Bavel, you know, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed the second act of Geula. Chozarnu l'kro HaKadoshim b'shem sh'nikroim be'eretz Bavel. So that's when we adopted these names, these Babylonian names for the months. L'hazkir kisham omadnu misham he'elonu Hashem yisparach. To remind us that we spent that time in Bavel, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeemed us from that place. Let me just read a little bit longer, and we'll finish up this. Yeah, very good question. Let me just read the next few lines, which, you know, finishes off the Ramban. Then we'll try to talk about this Ramban. There's a lot to talk about. Ki Eila Hashemos, says the Ramban, these names, Nisan, Iyar, Vizdulasan, you know, Nisan, Iyar, etc. Shmos, Parsiyim. They're Persian names. V'lo Yimotzei Rak B'Sipra Nevi'ei Bavel. Uv Megillas Esther, if you look through the Tanakh, there, these months are referenced, but only at the very end of Tanakh, you know, at the end of the period of the Tanakh. If you look in the Nevi'im, Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, who prophesied during the second Beis HaMikdash period, if you look at Megillas Esther, that's when these months are mentioned. Adar, Nisan, Sivan, Teves, and the like. So, and that's why, you know, if you go through Megillas Esther, it always makes reference to both ways of referring to the months. Bachodesh HaRishon, Hu Chodesh Nisan. In the first month, which is Nisan. In other words, in the first month, the way we used to call it, which is Nisan, the way we call it now, you know, now that the Jews came back from Babel.
They didn't come back from Babel at that point.
Well, to some, they hadn't rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash, but the first wave of the first wave, yeah, was before the Megillas Esther, right? Miskaresh was before Achashverosh, right? V'lochein omak, sorry, v'od ayom hagoyim ba'arsis paras umada kachin karimos on nisrin v'tishrei v'kulon kamalu. Says the Ramban, to this day, he's writing in the 1200s, if you go to these countries, Paras and Mada, you go to Iran, you know, when the Ramban was living, you'll see that they still use these names to refer to the various names of the months. V'nei nazkir b'chadoshim hagula hashenis kasher osinu adheno barishona. So when as we mention these names, you know, the same way that we use the first set of names to refer to the original, to the original geula, to the original redemption. Now, there's a lot to talk about over here. Basically, the Ramban is saying that on a fundamental level, the name, you know, originally the Torah made a point of saying that the months of the year should not have names in order to accentuate the connection, the centrality of Yetzias Mitzrayim to our worldview, to our, you know, whole way of dealing with the world. You know, so Nisan is going to be the first month, etc., etc. But then, when, as the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu indicates, the Geula from Babel took place, that Geula from Babel, that redemption from Babel, eclipsed the Geula from Eretz Yisrael, from Mitzrayim, that brought us to Eretz Yisrael. And as a result, we with the Torah's permission and encouragement, changed, it seems like, a mitzvah in the Torah itself, and we started calling the months by these non-Jewish names. So first of all, why don't we just, you know, why call the months by non-Jewish names? Seems like it's such a strange thing. Why don't we just renumber the months? Well, renumber the months based on when we came out of Babel, as opposed to when we came out from Mitzrayim. Why don't we do that? Why don't we just, you know, why are you giving different names to the month all of a sudden? So I think the answer to that question is as follows. So in which month did we leave Babel and come to Eretz Yisrael? Right, you have to think about it. Right, if you go back into the Pesukim and Tanakh, you know, you can find where they talk about, you know, they came at this point. They also came in dribs and drabs. They came in various waves of settlement, as we spoke about before. Zerubbabel came first, then Ezra and Nehemiah came later. It wasn't as precise as Yetzias Mitzrayim, where there was a set day where we all left Mitzrayim and went to Eretz Yisrael. So there's not, again, Lahavdil, when they try to figure out a day to commemorate the Holocaust, you know, there isn't really a very good day. That's what, you know, that's, you have, you know, they just had the anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz, but there isn't one day that's associated with either the beginning of the Holocaust or the end of the Holocaust. There were a lot of things that took place over a period of time. So again, Lahavdil, you know, the Geula, when the Jews came back from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, it's not so readily associated with a day. So how would you do that? How would you number the months based on, you know, a particular event? There wasn't an event, a single event, that was as dramatic and as decisive as Yetzias Mitzrayim when it came to the second Geula. You know, it happened in stages. So that's l'chara why they didn't just, you know, do a repeat of what was done when we left Mitzrayim, to entirely change over you know, the numbering system of the months, it's not clear which month we would start from if we were to do that. Beyond that, I think there's the following cheshbon, the following consideration. So, you know, the Gemara, for those who are doing the Daf HaYomi, right, so the Gemara at the end of the first parak of Brachos quotes this pasuk. The Gemara in the end of the first parak of Brachos seems to understand this pasuk in a different way than the Ramban does. And Be'ezus Hashem, after Maariv, we'll come back and talk about that issue a little bit. But the Gemara makes the point of saying that even once this second Geula happens, the second Geula is not going to entirely obliterate the fact that we left Mitzrayim, right? It's not like we're going to Lo She'yaker Yitzias Mitzrayim Mekomo. The Gemara says it's not like we're going to just totally forget about the fact that we left Egypt. It's rather we're going to be more focused on the final on the Geula from Bavel as opposed to the Geula from Mitzrayim, which is going to recede, but still it's not going to disappear. It's just going to be, it's going to be tafel. It's going to be secondary to the geula that we experienced when we left Bavel. So in light of that, that could be also a reason why the Ramban understands that it's not as if we just redid the calendar. We maintained the numbering of the months from Nisan. We can still refer to Nisan as Rosh Chodashim, right, as the first of the months. But by introducing new names of the months, so that allows us to commemorate both the Geula from Mitzrayim as well as the Geula from Bavel. So you're able to do both at the same time. Again, the way the Megillas Esther expresses it, in the first month, which is Nisan, so the first month captures our, you know, focus on Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that is Nisan focuses on the fact that we came out of Bavel. There's a much bigger issue here, though, and again, we'll try to talk about this after my Be'ezus Hashem. Non-Jewish names for the month. We want, you know, so every time we talk about a month, we're really utilizing a non-Jewish name, a Persian name. You know, it seems very bizarre, given the fact, especially that Chazal tell us that we, you know, we were zocha to leave Mitzrayim in part because we didn't adopt certain cultural things associated with the Egyptians. We kept our language, we kept our dress, you know, and here we are taking on the names of the months from the non-Jews. So to try to explain why this makes any sense whatsoever, Be'ezus Hashem after Ma'ariv, we'll continue and talk a little bit more about this very, very interesting passage in the Ramban. Okay, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer, welcome to the second half of the Shir of Ramban, Parshas Bo. So we saw how the Ramban introduces this idea and elaborates on this idea from Chazal that really prior to the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, there was a mitzvah in the Torah itself, there still is a mitzvah in the Torah itself, to mark the months of the year by numbers, not by names, and to start numbering them starting with Nisan. And that's all in order to relate, to keep in our consciousness all the time, the centrality of Yetzias Mitzrayim. However, once the Jews came back from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, as they began to settle the land and build the second Beis HaMikdash, so then the Yerushalmi and the Bereishis Rabba write that they took with them the non-Jewish names of the months from Bavel, and they started using them in addition to, and maybe even to a greater extent, than just numbering the months from Nisan. They started calling the months Tishrei, Mar Cheshvan, Kislev, Teves, etc., etc., etc. And all of that, says the Ramban, is to fulfill the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. The Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Perek Tes Zayin, says that when the Geula takes place, when the redemption takes place, people will no longer refer to Hashem as the one who took us out of Egypt, but they're going to refer to Hashem as the one who took us out from the northern land, which he interprets to mean Bavel. And, you know, that's going to supersede and to some extent eclipse the, you know, what happened when we left Mitzrayim. So that's these new months take on this new significance. And we said it's still very, very strange. You know, one would have thought that there's some other way to remind ourselves of the galus of the geula from Bavel, the redemption from Bavel, other than adopting these non-Jewish names. I mean, we're so careful to avoid, you know, non-Jewish cultural influences in so many different ways. And here, the very names of the months themselves, you know, reflect these non-Jewish origins. This is a very fascinating idea that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's that style has.
in his Sefer Emes Yaakov on the Chumash, where Rav Yaakov points out that the return from Bavel and the reestablishment of the Beis HaMikdash was a geula, but an incomplete geula. It was a redemption, but not a complete one. Right? The pasuk in Haggai says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says about the second Beis HaMikdash, "Ve'erza ba ve'ikavda," I will find favor with the second Beis HaMikdash ve'ikavda, and I will be honored through the second Beis HaMikdash. But the word ve'ikavda, which should be spelled with a hey at the end, is spelled in the pasuk in Haggai without a hey at the end. And Chazal explained at the end of the first parak of Yuma that the missing hey is a reference to the five elements that were present when the first Beis HaMikdash stood, but were absent in the second Beis HaMikdash. Probably the most notable of them is that there was no Aron, you know, in the Kodesh HaKodashim in the second Beis HaMikdash. So all of that, says Rabbi Yaakov, speaks to the fact that the second Beis HaMikdash and the Geula that accompanied it, the redemption that accompanied it, the resettlement of Eretz Yisrael, was, you know, like a chatzi geula. You know, it was the redemption, but not a real redemption. It was not the full redemption. I mean, witness the fact that the second Beis HaMikdash was ultimately destroyed. And yeah, we were redeemed from Bavel, but, you know, then we were plunged into this, you know, vast galus, the galus of Rome, that followed all of that, that we're still in today. And, you know, it certainly wasn't the messianic redemption that took place when the Jews came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Yaakov suggests that the usage of non-Jewish names, which in any other context we would say is very, very strange, the usage of non-Jewish names is to underscore this point that it's a geula, but it's not a real geula, right? And as we're always using these foreign names to remind ourselves of the fact that, yes, we have to be cognizant and recognize the fact that we were redeemed from Bavel, and we have to show thanks for that, and we have to, you know, think about that and have that as part of our consciousness. But at the same time, it's non-Jewish names. We recognize in the very usage of the non-Jewish names that the geula, that the redemption that took place when we left Bavel, is indeed incomplete.
Would they live at the time there with incomplete? And also, if that's the case, what names will we use for the months when Mashiach comes?
Right. So, as to what names we'll use when Mashiach comes, I don't know. I mean, it could be that we'll do something along the lines of the original Yetzias Mitzrayim, meaning, you know, again, Chazal say, B'nissan nigalu, B'nissan asidin ligoyel, right? The ultimate gula will take place in Nissan. Let's say that it happens exactly like that, so maybe we'll revert back to calling the months 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know? In other words, not using these names anymore, but we'll go back to the numbers. Or if for whatever reason the geula takes place in a different month, maybe that month will be month number one, right? That's what I would imagine offhand is what's going to happen. I guess it's easier for writing your checks, you know, by definition. That's what I would imagine. Did they know at the time of the second Beis HaMikdash that it was going to be temporary? So I think so. In other words, I think that's how Chazal understand that pasuk in Haggai. Now, the Erza Bavi Kavda, you know, already there, the missing hay, which is missing in the written form of the pasuk in Haggai, is what was communicated to the, you know, to the Nevi'im at that time. That's part of the Nevuah of Haggai, that he's reassuring the people that, you know, even though this isn't going to be the final geula, but don't be depressed, you know, it's something to write home about, you know, even if it's not the full thing.
So the third Beis HaMikdash, the Aron Kodesh will be back?
Yeah, Beis HaShem, we'll have the Aron HaBris, and, you know, be just like the first one.
Will they fly from...
you know, maybe they'll find the lost ark, you know, I mean, you'll have to, you know, it's probably the basement there somewhere, I imagine. You know, a lot of things in the basement. So that's Rabbi Yaakov's very interesting take on the usage of these names. What's fascinating about Rabbi Yaakov's pshat is, if you go back and you look in the Ramban, there's something striking about the Ramban, which we alluded to before, and I just want to come back and talk about it a little bit. So, again, as I mentioned, the Ramban quotes this pasuk from Yirmiyahu, which the Ramban seems to understand this meaning, that when the Geula from Babel takes place, it's going to supersede the Geula from Mitzrayim. So as I mentioned before, the Gemara at the end of the first parak of Brachos quotes this Pasuk, and it seems very, very clear from the way the Gemara understands the Pasuk that we're not talking about the Geula from Babel, we're talking about the final Geula. The Gemara at the end of the first parak of Brachos, you know, uses that Pasuk as part of the discussion about, you know, whether there'll be a mitzvah of mentioning Yetzias Mitzrayim on a daily basis when Moshiach comes. Now, when Moshiach comes, you know, and that Geula supersedes the fact that we had a Geula from Mitzrayim, so maybe there won't be a mitzvah to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim on a daily basis. And it's in that context that the Gemara quotes this Pasuk from Yirmiyahu. It seems pretty clear that the Ramban is interpreting this Pasuk somewhat differently. The Ramban is applying this Pasuk to the Geula from Babel, you know, not to the Geula that's going to happen in the future, the Geula HaSidah, the Geula of Mashiach. So what's going on over here? You know, is the Ramban ignoring the Gemara? How do you put these things together? So one possibility, of course, is to say that the Ramban is saying that the simple pshat in the Pasuk is referring to the Geula from Babel, and the Gemara, when the Gemara is talking about how it's referring to the Geula from Moshiach, that's a drash, you know, that's a midrashic interpretation, and we shouldn't confuse the pshat and the drash in terms of understanding the Pasuk. But I think it's also possible to reconcile the Ramban's understanding of the Pasuk with the Gemara's understanding of the Pasuk in the following way. This is based on a beautiful piece that my Rebbe Rav Heschel Schechter has in his second Sefer, Be'ikvei Hatzon, where he talks about the significance of the Yontav of Chanukah. So as we pointed out, when the second Beis HaMikdash was built, the Jews were a little bit down, because apparently at that time already the Jews were aware of the fact that it was not going to be a full-fledged Geula, a Beis HaMikdash which was going to last. And again, like Rabbi Yaakov points out over here, that's a little bit of a downer, and it's important for us to be cognizant of the fact that the Geula from Babel was a partial Geula, and not a full-fledged Geula, and we do that by utilizing, of all things, non-Jewish names, you know, to mark the Geula from Babel. But at the very same time, says Rav Schechter, the Geula that took place when the Jews resettled Eretz Yisrael in the second Beis HaMikdash may have been incomplete in one sense, but it was the foundation for what would ultimately be the third Beis HaMikdash in a different sense. We paskin that the Kedusha that was invested in Eretz Yisrael under Yehoshua during the Bayis Rishon was a Kedusha that left Eretz Yisrael after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, Kedusha Rishona, Kidsha L'Shaita V'lo Kidsha L'Asid Lavo. And conversely, the Kedusha that was established when Klal Yisrael resettled Eretz Yisrael under the leadership of Ezra, that Kedusha survived the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. Kedusha Shnia, Kidsha L'Asid Lavo. That was something that had an everlasting impact. And the idea behind that seems to be that even though the second Beis HaMikdash was lacking these five things, but it was the beginning of the building of the third Beis HaMikdash. In other words, we shouldn't look at it as being incomplete. We should focus on the fact that it's chapter one of the Geula. So perhaps in that sense, the fact that the Ramban applies the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu to the redemption from Babel, and the fact that the Gemara applies it to the redemption that's going to take place at the time of Mashiach, it's not necessarily two different things. The Geula from Babel is the first stage in the Geula, which is ultimately going to be the Geula of Mashiach. So, you know, it's incomplete, but it's very significant. And as it's incomplete, and that's why, you know, as Rabbi Yaakov points out, we use the non-Jewish names of the months in order to remind us of the Geula from Babel. But at the same time, so you know, the flip side of that is you might argue, well, if it's incomplete and it didn't last, so why should we why are we still holding on to those names of the months from Babel nowadays? Okay, there was a Geula from Babel, and that Geula obviously didn't pan out. You know, the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So maybe we should go back to the, you know, calling the months 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 from Nisan. The answer is no. Although it was incomplete, the Geula from Bavel, but it's incredibly significant because it created the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael that we still have till this day, and it's that building of the second Beis HaMikdash which lays the groundwork for the ultimate and final building of the Beis HaMikdash, which will take place when Mashiach comes. So that's something which we need to have in mind today, even by remembering the names of the months, even though they happen to be non-Jewish names of the months. Remembering our connection to Bavel and the fact that we left Bavel is something which is, you know, incredibly, incredibly significant and impacts on our Yiddishkeit, you know, ad hayom hazeh, till this day. Okay, we'll stop here for this week, and Be'ezus Hashem, we'll see everybody next week with Parshas B'Shalach.